Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how can you not be, right? And as far as what's going on, I have no idea at this point.
Neither do I, John.
Here we are again.
But
John
Grayson
in for Dana and Parks. Oh, thank you, Sam Stevie, for being here so that I don't have to just talk to myself for 4 hours because I can't imagine a worse fate. It's Friday. We got a lot going on, lots of fun to have on the program. And of course, you know, it's Friday. It wouldn't be a Friday with me hosting it without a visit with a rock star. Dennis Dunaway is going to join us a little bit later on in the program. He is one of the founding members of Alice Cooper, back when Alice Cooper was a band, not a guy. And they just got back together for the first time in 50 years to put together an entire studio album. And I'm going to tell you something, Sam. It's awesome.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, as rock albums go, I've been so disappointed so many times by bands that do this. You know, that oh, yeah, it's our first studio album in 20 years, 30 years, whatever. And you listen to it, and it's just lame. You know, it's like,
just
guys,
not the same as what they used to be.
Right. It is. It's, you know, when I remember I was on the air with Parks when the last AC/DC cut was released.
Oh, yeah.
And and I listened to it, and he hadn't heard it yet. And, you know, he said, what does it sound like? And I said, what do you want an AC/DC cut to sound like? And he said, I want it to sound like AC/DC. I said, good, you're in luck, because it sounds exact. You know, don't try to push out of the boundaries. Do what you do, you know? And that's what this new Alice Cooper album is. It's just fantastic. So we'll talk to Dennis a little bit later on in the broadcast. And in the meantime, it's you and me and Sam. And if you want in on the text line or on the phones, 913-586-7798.
And it is Friday. That means that we are just 3 hours away from Festivus Friday. Festivus Friday,
right.
Brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Q39KC.com.
I'm going to have to come up with a grievance.
I've got plenty. I've got them
stacked. Yeah, I was going to say, I may have to depend on you for a couple of them because I have very little to complain about these days. So, except for the fact that I keep getting these phone calls going, hey, dude, can you work today? It's not supposed to happen. Again, here we are.
It's good to be wanted.
You know, you reminded me yesterday that at midnight this morning, at the stroke of midnight, Target was opening their doors at 500 locations across the country so that 12-year-old girls could rush in and get a copy of Taylor Swift's new album.
Including the one right here in Mission.
Oh, was there really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I didn't look. I'm sure there's a location somewhere near me, but, I mean, it wasn't like I was going to be there anyway.
You mean to tell me you didn't get in line at 10 p.m. last night for that midnight
release? I did
not. Release?
No, I know you're disappointed, but no. I've heard a couple of the tracks, and in the same vein as we were just talking about, do what you do, it sounds like, it's a lot more lovey-dovey than some of Taylor's earlier breakup songs, but in terms of the musicality of it, and in terms of the way that the harmonies are built and all of that, it sounds exactly like Taylor Swift. And I don't mean that as a knock. I'm not just, oh, she's just retreading her old stuff again. No, it sounds like what I expected it to sound like, so... have you gotten to live with this at all?
I have not listened to any of it. I have seen a couple of comments online from people who in the past have been extreme Taylor Swift fans who, I gotta be honest, and maybe it's because it's all lovey-dovey and not about breakup songs, but
uh-huh.
They all said they don't like it.
Really?
So I don't know if they want Taylor to go back to being sad, but if you're a real super fan of Taylor's, I would think that you would want her to be happy.
Right.
So I don't know. I haven't heard any of it, but that's what I'm seeing online.
That's interesting to hear because the critics love it. And they've not always been all that friendly to Taylor Swift over time. But, I mean, Rolling Stone had a really positive review of it. There were a couple of others that I saw that I didn't read the reviews, but I saw that they had given a thumbs up to Taylor's new album. So, yeah, maybe that's it. It's like, okay, if you do something that's going to please the critics, it's going to really torque off your fans.
I feel like that's consistent with most things, though, because, the best comedies out there, the best horror movies out there, all of them have the worst reviews from the critics because, for whatever reason, despite the fact that they're the ones that are paid to professionally break down whether or not this piece of art is good or bad,
sure,
they can never seem to disagree with or can never seem to agree with the masses.
Yeah, and when we were talking yesterday about Rocky Horror, because its 50th anniversary is coming up and Dan Weinbaum dragged us off into this thing, the critics were merciless to Rocky Horror when it came out. I mean, they just torched it because it was brand new. Nobody had ever done anything like that before.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to make of it. They didn't get it. And so, yeah, they just trashed the movie. And on the other hand, I've seen even movie critics that I like Leonard Maltin. There was a movie that I sat through one day because I had nothing else to do. And I guess I was so tired I couldn't reach the remote.
Yeah.
It was a movie called, what was it? I was going to say Riding with Death, and that's not right. But it was this movie about a girl who gets kidnapped by the devil, who is driving this really cool modified early 70s Mopar, and her mother, who drives the local school bus, chases this car through the entire movie. It is a 90-minute car chase, and it's awful, and Leonard Maltin loved it. So I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, I do have one curiosity, though. Maybe you can help me with this, Sam, and maybe somebody on the text line can.
Was it called Driven?
No. Okay. This would have been it probably came out by the aesthetic around 1980. I'll find it.
I was frantically typing your description into Google, and that's what I got. But Driven came out in 2020.
Okay, yeah, no, this is an old one. But, the one thing that I've been curious about now with Taylor Swift for a long time, and one of the sort of notes on this new album, and I've not heard it, but she did a version of George Michael's Father Figure. The George Michael's team came out and said, oh, yeah, she contacted us and told us she was going to do this, and we were all on board, so everybody's happy. I have not heard that track. I don't know what she did with Father Figure. But there are so many of her songs, especially the hits, that have the same name as another song. And I don't know. I mean, that's got to be directed. That can't just be coincidence.
Huh.
But there's probably a dozen of them. And they're not remakes, or they're not, her doing a version of the original song. It just happens to share the same name, like Bad Blood, White Horse. There are so many Taylor Swift songs that just happen to share a name with a song that was already a hit once.
Well, and there's one thing that we can guarantee. It's that Taylor Swift does nothing by accident. I mean,
right.
We have learned over the years that with the Easter eggs, with the teases, that every single thing that she does is planned and thought out years in advance. I mean, when she dropped the new album announcement on the New Heights podcast, her cult is what I call it, sorry, went back and found different Easter eggs that she had been laying out for 3 years. And all
right.
of them, came together to the new album drop.
And I'll bet that there's some kind of crossover with like the Paul is Dead thing. When the Beatles were at the height of their popularity, there were all these rumors, and then fans would look for clues on the albums and listen for clues in the songs. And some of that stuff, I'm sure, was directed. The Beatles did that and said, okay, these rumors are out there, we might as well play with this.
Right.
So, let's give them something.
Lean into it.
I'm sure there are also things that the fans saw that the Beatles were like, what? No, we didn't do that. And I wonder if some of the Easter eggs with Taylor Swift are kind of the same way, where the fans make it up and then she just profits off of it, even though she didn't mean to do that.
That's a great point. And I've seen, oh my gosh, being the age that I am surrounded by the super Swifties. And I have seen the breakdown of the different colors of stage clothing. I mean, the Eras Tour was just constant theory after theory. What is she trying to tell us? I'm like,
right.
Probably nothing.
She's just singing songs.
Why can't she just get up there and sing with whatever clothes she wants to?
Yes. We're going to switch gears here in a couple of minutes and go to a favorite topic of mine. Because, Sam, do you have a regular hangout? Do you have a place that you go that's like your place?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. It used to be we only had one, but as I've moved around the city, the watering hole, I picked new ones. So now we just kind of bounce from watering hole to watering hole.
What do you look for? When you're going out like bar and grill, maybe have a little dinner, a couple of drinks with friends, and just kind of sit down and shoot the breeze. What do you look for in a place?
Well, having a dartboard is huge for me and my friends.
Okay.
But really just the aesthetic. So like we like the warm and welcoming sports bar. I love all of the wood grain. So like we're big fans of Charlie Hooper's.
Yep.
The entire inside of Charlie Hooper's is wood grain. It's awesome. Now, well, I also bring up the aesthetic, and there are nights, like if it's a big sports watching night, I will not go to Charlie Hooper's. I will stay away from it like the plague because of how many people are there. So yep. It's pace of people, the colors, how warm is the room, stuff like that.
Right, but if it's one of the final four games or something like that, no. We're staying home. We're
correct.
Not going out
there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they sat down. I think, was Slate. I'll tell you in a minute. But they sat down with a bunch of different bartenders, and they asked them, what do you look for? Like, what tells you that you're in the wrong place, that you need to sit down, have one beer, and then get out and go somewhere else? And we'll talk about what they said, and if you've got some suggestions as well about what happens, like, when you walk into a place for the first time, like your buddy says, hey, I went to this new bar and grill, and it's a pretty decent place. You ought to go check it out. And you walk in, and there's just something off. What puts you off of a place like that?
Okay.
So we'll tell you what the bartender said here in a minute. And if you want to add in, by all means, 913-586-7798 is the number on the phone, on the text line. And we'll get to you just ahead. John Grayson here with you in for Dana and Parks once again on a Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
222, all twos across the board. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks on this Friday afternoon. And Sam Stevie alongside, of course. There are a couple of things going on. And one of them is we told you about this list. This came out of vinepair.com. I was wrong. It wasn't Slate. Oh, well. And they sat down with 11 bartenders and asked them all, what would turn you off? When you walk into somebody else's bar, what do you see or what do you smell or what do you experience that makes you want to turn on your heel and go find some other place to go? And some of them are kind of obvious. A lot of it has to do with dirty stuff, you know, dirty glasses, dusty bottles. And the one that got me, and I can't tell you, this so easily puts me off. When you sit down at a bar and you put your arms up on the bar.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's sticky.
Oh. Or you walk in and, you know, I like to wear my shoes untied. It's weird. I get it.
Okay.
But if I walk into the bar and I plant one foot and I go to, you know, lift it up to walk as people do,
yeah.
And my shoe remains on the floor.
Sticks to the floor.
Yep. It's time for me to go.
No doubt. And another one of the ones, and I kind of get where they're coming from on this, but I think this is probably a personal preference thing because you can go overboard with it. One of them said that if you're not greeted when you enter the bar, And I can forgive that, like, if it's busy. You know, the bartender's going nuts and he's back there alone and he's got 20 customers he's trying to take care of. If he doesn't immediately look up and go, "Hey, how are you? Welcome in," I'll forgive that. But there are some people, I mean, when I walk into, like, the dollar store, I don't need somebody to go, "Hi."
Right.
It's just, let me come in and I'll get my candy bar and I'll leave.
And that's a theft prevention tactic, by the way, when you do that at the dollar store.
Yep, absolutely. They want you to know, yes, we know you just walked in, so that you don't go stealing stuff and walking out with it. But yeah, another one, wet ice. That's, I had a friend years ago. Yeah, who was he was a Hall of Fame bartender. And what he did is he had a big pile of cracked ice on the bar top. Not on the bar top, but on top of the little cabinet that he was working from.
Yeah.
And that wasn't for putting in drinks. What he would do with that is you had the ice in the freezer underneath that.
Right.
And that's where you would pull from because it's nice and dry. But what he did with the wet ice that was up on top is if he was making a drink that was a cold drink that didn't have ice in it, he would put the glass upside down on top of, like, a martini.
Yeah.
He'd put the martini glass upside down on top of the ice while he was getting the bottles out to be able to make the drink. Then he'd make the drink in the, you know, do the shaker thing and then
chill the cup.
Exactly.
I love it.
But aside from that, if the ice is wet, it means that the temperature's not right inside the freezer. So
going back to the greeting, if you go in and sit at the bar and don't get greeted, that's one thing.
Yes.
If I go in and go to an establishment that I go to all the time and I go and sit down at the table and the server is busy, I get it. But if we make eye contact and you don't acknowledge my presence,
right,
I'm going to assume you don't want me there.
Yep.
And I'm going to go find a different place to go.
Does it bother you? This is not on the list, by the way, but does it bother you? Because I used to go to a place that was kind of like this and we didn't mean anything by it, but because it was such a small town and it was a local, you know, it was a husband and wife team who owned the place, Bar and Grill, and he cooked and she, you know, was front of house. And because it's a small town, if you walk in and we don't know, you know, like you're there for the first time, people are going to turn around and look at you.
Who are you? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like we're not looking at you like, who are you? What are you doing here? It's just, you know, we don't know who you are.
Who's the new guy?
Right. Not that many new people walk in here. I got that the first time I went in there, you know? So it's just a thing. But I know there are some people who get really put off by that.
Even worse than sticky floors, and there is an establishment here that is known for it, and I won't call them out, but if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about, is greasy floors.
Oh, but that's dangerous, though.
Oh, yeah, and there is, I won't name it, they serve barbecue, and when you go to the bathroom, you better have both hands out to grab the wall, because otherwise you are going down.
Yeah. Now, you said the thing earlier about going to a sports bar when there's a big sporting event going on. When you're just out with friends, do you prefer a bar that's empty except you guys, or do you want a few people around?
I want it somewhere in the middle. And you had mentioned, like, Final Four, so I can get past it if it's a big game that I'm going to watch.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Like, for example, Charlie Hooper's or Harpo's. Harpo's is a Mizzou bar, right? And so if I ever find myself in Westport these days, which I haven't been there in forever, and I walk into Harpo's and it happens to be a Mizzou game day and they're packed, I'm walking out because no offense, Mizzou, don't really care to watch the game.
And that's fair. Yeah, if it's something you're not interested in, because then, you know, every 15 minutes, the whole place is going to go nuts and you're going to have to stop what you're doing and stop talking to your friends until everybody calms back down.
Yeah.
Not fun. If you want in, as we said before, 913-586-7798. We'll check in on the text line here in just a couple of minutes. We've got some other areas of study to get into, including but not limited to. And Sam, I'll give you credit because you found this one, and I absolutely love it. There's a new book that's set to hit the store shelves in the not-too-distant future that's not going to smell like all of the other books on your shelf.
Oh, yeah.
We'll tell you why, tell you what it is, and then I've got some fun I think we can have with this one. So again, 913-586-7798. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks, and if you've got something to throw in, that's how you do it. Plenty more to come. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks on a Friday afternoon. Yeah, we were just talking a little bit about how you know that bar is just not the right bar for you. So, I mean, it's supposed to be like Cheers, right? So,
and Marv, what do you do? I sit there. Still right. One of the best characters ever.
Indeed. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks. I think we said that already. But if you want in, 913-586-7798. My favorite norm line from Cheers was, you know, because he would always come up with something funny to say when they were like, hey, how are you, Norm? And he'd, you know, make some kind of crack.
It's Norm. One I time, called him Marv. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's all right. My favorite one was when he walked into the bar. And Sam asked him, oh, what did he say? He said, oh, yeah, what's shaking, Norm? And Norm said, all four cheeks and a couple of chins.
Like, wow.
All right, that's good. All right, so anyway, this book company and a mayonnaise company and an author by the name of Jennifer L. Armentrout, who's described here as a best-selling author. I've never heard of her, but that really doesn't mean anything because I don't tend to read a lot of vampire novels. In fact, I think I've only ever read one. I read Interview with a Vampire when I was in college because my best friend in the entire world, Cato, told me, you have to read this book. It's outstanding. And it was pretty good. And then Tom Cruise ruined it. So Jennifer Armentrout writes vampire fiction.
Okay.
At least some of her stuff is. And she's got a new one coming out called The Primal of Blood and Bone. It's weird grammar, but sure. And she's teamed up with a company that makes mayonnaise. Now, I can't stand mayonnaise, more so than I don't like vampire novels. Mayonnaise is gross. But anyway, I guess they have a new garlic aioli that's coming out.
Okay. I love your garlic aioli.
That's because you're not a vampire.
Right.
Vampires, of course, are repelled mm-hmm. by garlic. So they're teaming up with this author because she's got a new vampire novel coming out. The pages are literally printed with garlic ink, making it the first novel that doubles as a condiment. People on Book Talk, which I guess is a thing, say that, you know, they're really into it. It's insane, said one. They're not messing around. And I thought, okay, so you're going to have a book on your bookshelf that smells like garlic. So first of all, if the book is closed and it's on the shelf, does it still emanate garlic smell?
I would imagine it has to, and that would be great for, like, I don't know, the first page.
Yes.
And then I'm throwing it in the trash.
Uh-huh, because if it's going to make my entire house smell like garlic, I am not buying this book.
No, I want my library to smell like rich mahogany and leather-bound greatness.
There you go. You're going to drag me off on another tangent. There's a place in Kansas City, and I wish I could tell you exactly where it was, but I always forget. It's one of these places that sells a lot of antique-y kind of stuff.
Okay.
And it is very much in that mahogany and leather, and, you know, it looks like that inside. And they had a candle that was leather, whiskey, and tobacco scent. All in one candle. And I was like, okay, that sounds amazing.
Yes, please.
It was too, by the way.
We get incense from the Renaissance Fair every single year. It's one of the few reasons we go to the Ren Fair, other than the fact that it's absolutely incredible. And they have one that is leather, and I'd buy all of it, every single stick they have.
You know what's always struck me as weird about that is going to, like, a flea market to the incense guy where there's 400 different flavors of incense, and one of them invariably is marijuana.
Oh, yeah, right. Why wouldn't you just burn the real stuff?
Burn? Well, yeah, but, I mean, we used incense to cover up the pot smell. You know? Why would I get pot-scented incense? Mom's going to know.
Right.
So, yeah, it was it's just weird. It's the same thing. As you and I talked about this a long time ago, the weird things now that, you know, we advertise drugs on the radio and on TV, the weird things that they have to put in for possible side effects and things that they tell people not to do, like, don't take this drug if you're allergic to it. Well, duh.
Right.
Why would you take something you're allergic to? And the fact that they have to tell people this. My sister always says, you know, they used to, in the owner's manual of your car, they had instructions for adjusting the valves. Now it says don't drink the battery acid.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
man.
So
it's the same thing as like putting caution contents are hot on a coffee cup. And it makes Dana mad every time I bring that one up because, yes, there was an older woman who did suffer third degree burns.
Yep.
But when you get a cup of coffee and it's not iced coffee, the contents better be hot. Why do I need a caution for that?
Yeah. Well, one of the ones that we heard not all that long ago says in the little disclaimer thing at the end, consult your doctor if you experience, and it goes through a whole bunch of different symptoms, and one of them is abnormal bleeding. Right. Sam, what's normal bleeding?
You know, John, I don't normally bleed, so I couldn't tell you.
I don't know anybody who normally bleeds, so to me, any bleeding would qualify as abnormal.
And consult your doctor if you suffer death.
Yeah, make sure you call him right away.
We reached out for comment.
As soon as you breathe your last, make sure you've got your cell phone nearby because the doctor's going to want to know. But anyway, back to the book. Weren't we talking about? Oh, yeah, the book that smells funny.
Like garlic.
A book that smells like garlic. And I thought, okay, what book should never, ever be given this treatment? What book should never have a scent associated with it, an actual scent that emanates up from the pages?
Anything by Stephen King. Every single one of them.
Yeah, I would think zombie books would be a little ripe since they're, you know, undead and all. My first thought was, and we had to read this when I was in high school, The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, which is all about the meatpacking industry.
What?
Oh, yeah. It was written, I think, in the 20s or 30s, and it goes through what the conditions were like. This is obviously way before there was an FDA or a USDA or, you know, anything like that. So the meatpacking industry was pretty much unregulated. And the things – I won't gross you out with them right now. If you've never read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, but he goes through some of the ickiest stuff that was going on in the meatpacking industry back then. And it's absolutely disgusting. So, yeah, that one, I don't ever want to smell anything that has anything to do with the things that are in that book.
All you have to do is drive down a highway in Missouri for too long and you'll smell what that smells like.
There is nothing in this world. Before I moved to Kansas City, I lived in a town in Illinois called Waterloo, which is south of St. Louis by, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 miles. And if you go west from there toward the river, toward the Mississippi River, there's another town called Valmire.
Okay.
And Valmire is actually up on the bluff. There's a bluff that's probably, I don't know, 60, 70 feet high. It used to be down below the bluff. That was Old Valmire. Old Valmire was gone in 1993. The flood came through and just wiped out the entire town. It is not there anymore.
Okay.
So they moved the town up onto the top of the bluff, which is probably what they should have done in the first place. But when they did that, they left. There's still a few buildings down below. There's like farm buildings and things like that because that ground is incredibly fertile. Because it used to be the bottom of the Mississippi River.
Marsh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's great to grow stuff in. And there's a bunch of cornfields down there for the time being until the next flood happens. But there's a pig farm. As you're driving down into what used to, you know, into Old Valmire, there is a pig farm. And I don't know how many pigs they have in this thing. I think all of them, because it is the worst smell you could ever conceive.
I can only imagine.
So bad. Hey, there's another book, Animal Farm.
Right. Yeah, George Orwell. Smell that one. Text line, by the way, is being completely inappropriate, and I cannot read any of your suggestions. They all have to do with one thing.
Yeah, I'm imagining 50 Shades of Grey probably made it on there.
That and other options, yeah.
9.5 weeks.
Good God.
We could go on, however we won't.
Above the belt, people.
Yeah, but if there is, I mean, what else would be really nasty? There was, I guess, Jaws, you know, the ocean gets kind of gross smelling.
Hunger Games.
Oh yeah. There you go. There's some icky stuff in the Hunger Games as well. So yeah, keep these coming in. If you've got some non-sexual ones,
they're all sexual. All of them. Except for, oh, sorry. We got The Jungle was a submission. They actually sent that in before you brought it up.
No kidding.
And then Charlotte's Web. Not really sure.
Again, farm.
There you go.
And her best friend in the book was a pig.
Here it is. Everybody poops.
Uh-huh. That's the one.
I wonder what 1984 would smell like.
Big brother, I guess. Or, you know, you could just walk outside now and take a big whiff. Nice. And probably smell a lot like that.
I teed that one up for you.
Thank you very much for that. We'll take a brief time out on that. Keep these coming in if you've got some good suggestions for us. And if you want to drop a phone call on us, you can do that as well. 913-586-7798. John Grayson here with you in for Dana and Park. Sam Stevie alongside. Plenty more on the way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Grayson in for Dana and Parks today. Dana's still under the weather. The text I got this morning, because I texted her early and said, so?
Yeah, I did the same thing, by the way.
So, what's the word, Dana? How's everything going? And the text I got back was, worse than yesterday. I mean, I could almost hear how bad her voice sounded from a text. That's how rough it was. So, yeah.
And she learned her lesson not to send us voice or to leave us voicemails with that voice, because then we record it and put it into the system so we can play it later.
Of course. Yeah. Anything like that's going immediately on the air. Anything else come in that we can talk about from the books?
We're talking about books that you wouldn't want to smell. And yeah, there were about 100 submissions of the same book title that I will not be reading on the air. It has a very
inappropriate title. The one
that has
the word monologues in it.
Yeah. It does. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We've gotten Jurassic Park.
Okay. Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Uh-huh.
Lord of the Flies.
That's a good one.
Apocalypse Now.
Another good one. Yeah. Fahrenheit, war doesn't smell great.
Fahrenheit 451.
That's a good one. See, Fahrenheit 451, I can imagine, you know, as you're reading about the firemen going around starting fires and burning books, if you've got that smell of flame and smoke kind of, you know, just something subtle, not just overwhelming you, but just kind of rising up off the pages, that
now,
can be kind of cool.
Would your brain then be convinced that the book was on fire? Because you are holding something that's flammable.
Yep.
And I don't know if I mentioned this one already, but everybody poops.
Yes. And it's the smoke thing, too. I mean, you go camping all the time, so you must absolutely love the smell of a good campfire.
I do. I'm a pirate.
There is, I don't drink a lot of tea. Are you a tea drinker at all?
You know, right now when I'm all nasally like this, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And that's usually it. When I'm sick or, like here, just the other night, it got really cold. Down into like the upper 30s, low 40s. And having a nice cup of tea when the weather outside is like that, that's great. But
a little bit of honey in there.
Yeah. But there's one particular, it's not a brand, I guess, a variety of tea. It's called Lapsang Soochong. And it happens to be the tea that Winston Churchill drank. So any English tea shop you go into is going to have this stuff.
Huh.
Other ones will have it too. But yeah, if it's a British tea shop, they will definitely have Lapsang Soochong. And it's a smoked tea. So when you open the little bag to get the tea out, it smells, you get that campfire smell.
That's awesome.
Oh, it is so good. I know why Churchill drank it, because it's absolutely outstanding. So.
Now, the genre of book that you would want to be able to smell, thank you, text line, cookbooks.
Oh, yeah.
If you could open up that page and smell how delicious that lasagna is about to smell, I mean, they would be flying off the shelves.
As long as it's authentic, because I don't know if you – did they have scratch and sniff books when you were a kid?
Yeah, certainly.
They were still around. Okay,
yeah. With the fake strawberry smell or whatever.
Right, and it never smelled like it was supposed to smell. I had one where it was about a mother mouse. I was 3 or 4 years old when I had this thing, and she was cooking dinner for all her little mouse children. And one of the things was she made a tray of brownies, and it smelled like exactly not brownies. I don't know what it was, what they were going for, but it did not have that rich chocolatey smell. But yeah, if you could do like a scratch and sniff cookbook that would really smell like that recipe, that would be great.
Well, how does scratch and sniff work? Do they like concentrate the particles? Because, you know, my favorite thing to tell people is when you smell flatulence, you're actually inhaling particles from whoever dealt it. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into the details. But when you smell something, you're actually inhaling those particles. So like, tiny chocolate particles are in the air when you make brownies, and that's why it smells delicious. Do they just concentrate like particles onto that sticker, and then you scratch them into the air, and that's how you smell it?
That's kind of true and not true. What you're smelling, like, you couldn't take all of those molecules and smash them all together and have a brownie.
Right, because
what you're smelling is actually volatile organic compounds that rise off of the brownie. So, yeah, it's just the VOCs are what get in there, which, by the way, is why hydrogen peroxide, if you're looking to get rid of a stink, peroxide is the way to go. And it doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's not like a chemical thing, but like wet dog or whatever, you know, that smell, if it gets into the carpet or some kind of biological spill, and this is another, back to the pot smoke. Why is everything about pot smoke today?
I don't know. What are you trying to tell me, Grayson?
Getting that or like cigarette smoke out of your clothing or out of the car or whatever, a light spray of hydrogen peroxide will do it, because hydrogen peroxide rips through volatile organic compounds like nothing else. In fact, they sell a thing that you can have put in your HVAC system that will mist a little bit of hydrogen peroxide into the air, because it will not only kill bacteria, but it'll also get rid of bad smells in your house.
That is wild. I've never heard that.
There you go. See, learn something new every day.
Thank you.
changing gears again completely. A story across the desk, and I don't know why these fascinate me like they do. But whenever a police agency makes a giant drug haul, I'm always interested in how much and how many people were involved. Like, if you go in and there's 10 pounds of cocaine, but there's like 50 guys working in there, okay, well, that's not very much for a whole bunch of people.
It's still a lot, but it's a reasonable amount per person.
Exactly, right. So if you've, in this case, this comes out of Lewis County, Washington, which is Tacoma, Washington, where the police just arrested one guy with 89 pounds of meth.
Oh, yeah. Walter White, what are you doing, brother?
Exactly. And I don't know what I thought 89 pounds of meth looked like. That's an awful lot of bags. And you think about that moment, right, when the cops break in.
Oh, yeah.
And he's there, and he's got – you cannot flush 89 pounds of meth. It's like, no.
And you better ingest it.
You're right. So you just have to sit there with all the blood draining out of your face going, oh, man. It's like that scene in the movies. I knew this day was coming, but I didn't think it was going to be today.
Here's what they found. Taste like schnozberries.
I love that movie. That's Super Troopers, isn't it? Yeah, so I know originally Willy Wonka, but yes. They found, in addition to the 89 pounds of meth, 410 grams of cocaine. So how many – that's – what is it, 23 grams to an ounce? Something like that, or 28?
28?
Is it 28? Okay, so 28 grams to an ounce. So we're talking 4 times 4, 16, 17 ounces. So a little more than a pound of cocaine, 166 grams of fentanyl powder, 33.5 grams of heroin, and one firearm.
This guy was a walking death.
Yeah. He's like, way to go, dude. You had one gun to protect all of those drugs. And they're all the cops in Tacoma are now patting themselves on the back. It was a narcotic seizure by Tacoma Police Special Investigations Unit. And 89 pounds of meth later.
Something tells me this guy is not solely responsible for all of that product. He was just the guy that was unlucky enough to be at the house when the detectives arrived.
Yeah, because if he's cooking that much meth, I'm guessing that his house is probably another one of those places you never want to smell as long as you live.
He's got a Winnebago out there somewhere.
somewhere in the woods.
We'll do some more talking after the top of the hour. Stick with us. It's a Friday. We're having a good time and inviting you along for the ride at 913-586-7798. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks. More on the way.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.